Nancy Schnell, present.
Doug Moser, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Absent are Alderman Jones and Alderman Mueller. Next item on the agenda, 2.0, is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome. The next item on the agenda, 3.1, is a special presentation by Chief Roy Hunter for the Clear Lake Emergency Medical Corps. Chief?
Good evening. Thank you all for having me come out here tonight.
I'd like to speak with you all a little bit about Clemcy and a little bit of history behind Clemcy.
So, Clemcy itself...
It'll be the same.
We were founded as a co-op back in 1972, and we're a nonprofit corporation. Our original cities in here, right now, we encompass the city of Webster, city of Seabrook, city of Kima, Clear Lake Shores, city of Shore Acres, south side of city of Pasadena, the communities of Lazy Jan, unincorporated Harris County, Mud 55. Have contracts with the Port of Houston and with NASA at this point in Ellington. Provided excellent service. We're award-winning. We've won national awards for some of the stuff we're doing. Won state awards for a lot of our injury prevention stuff. I'm very proud of that. Their first slide, which is messed up here. Your community partner, 41 years. We really believe this. We're here to serve y'all as the community. Call Mr. Stoll anytime y'all need us out here. We'd love to come to PR events. Anything y'all need, please let us know. Like I said, started in 1972. Originally it was Seabrook, Elvado, Taylor Lake Village, and Clear Lake City in Middlebrook and Brook Forest. From 1972 to 1999, we were all volunteers at that point. Sign of the times in the economy, we're now still a nonprofit. We're predominantly now paid. Got about 10% volunteers still, but we are still maintaining as a nonprofit at this point. Way back when, I tried to find Mr. Stahl in here somewhere, and I couldn't figure out which one he was. But this is back when he ran actually with Clemcy years ago as a volunteer. We say we work with NASA. We enjoy that. We were basically raised here with NASA when they started, so it's been a real good cooperation between us. We actually work in their clinic and out at the airfield with them, as well as with the Coast Guard and the 147 reconnaissance team.
Lots of dignitaries come in out there. We did not realize that.
Use some of the most advanced treatment protocols. Y'all remember a few years ago there was a football player got injured on the field, and they talked about it packed him in ice and actually was able to keep him from being injured. We actually started a protocol 7 years ago called ICE, induced cooling by EMS. The time we found out with people in the cardiac arrest, only about 17% of the people came out of cardiac arrest didn't have neurological problems, didn't have brain injuries. With this induced cooling by EMS, we immediately put you in hypothermia. If we get your heart back, or your heart beating again, we've actually changed that from 17% to 87% of the people leaving the hospital without any neurological complaints. Clemcy was one of the first places. It was Clemcy, Friendswood, League C, and Wake Forest, North Carolina did the study on this program 7 years ago. It's really taken off. Now everybody in EMS is using this protocol. I'm very proud that we actually started that protocol 7 years ago. We do a lot of research on stuff. We've added ultrasounds to our ambulance now. Only a couple of places in the state of Texas are doing that now, so we do ultrasounds in the field, CO monitoring in the field, very aggressive protocols with it. Our medics are highly motivated and highly trained. They have to go to training every week. In minimum 2 hours a week they do training, and then they have training topics every month they have to do it. You only be as good as you train. So we're constantly striving for training. This is my bread and butter. What I love is the PR programs. Like I said, we did win an award from the state for injury prevention. Anything we can do, we do a childhood immunization program. When us from Friendswood, proud to say we've given over 100,000 vaccinations to children in the last 10 years. Lots of kids with vaccinations. We do public CPR classes, car seats, outdoor reach program. Any of y'all still have kids or grandkids around the house? Get tired of them sitting around the house playing the video games all the time? We want to stop this. Our outreach program encompasses a hunter education program and an angler education program. Get them out of the house, get them out working in the environment. Babysitter training we do. My Don't Die Needlessly program is a drunk driver prevention program geared towards high school students. In this particular program, they actually have to get 5 toe tags of 5 best friends. They have to drive my golf cart around with drunk goggles on. And believe me, you cannot drive this thing without knocking over cones with drunk goggles on. Then they got to pick up the cones again. That's their best friend they just killed, and they got to put the toe tag on that cone. It's a very effective program. We do vitamins, our senior outreach program. We can focus several things into this where we not only do the vital life, where we ask you to actually put your information on there, taking it one step forward, if you actually send it to us, we put it in our database. So when we get dispatched on the computer, it automatically pulls up all your information for your house. So I can have your medical history in there, your medications, allergies, all that already into a database as soon as we get there. And we work with all the local fire departments in the area here. Right now, we are trying to work with the Port of Houston right now. They're very interested in coming over here and do first responders for y'all. And we're trying to work to see if we can do something with that with them. CPR, need to have it every couple years. Be more than willing to come down here if y'all want to set this up, and we can do a mass CPR test for your community. Like I said, my PR, I love doing the little kids and public relations. For every dollar we spend in that public relations injury prevention, it's paying back 20-fold is what we're spending on it. So we're real big about getting them young, getting them in mid-range in high school, and getting them again as they get older. It's all about injury prevention and medicine. Right now, I'm running 3 full-time mobile intensive care units with 4 full-time supervisors because I have one out at the JSC, have 55 medics. We are dispatched by the Western Police Department. Also have 2 reserve ambulances. Mutual aid agreements with Lead City, Nassau Bay, Houston, LaPorte, and Friendswood. We are going to be putting up another ambulance. We see sometimes that I'm looking at a peak ambulance right now for 911 because we see times when our call volume grade goes up and we need more ambulances on the street. It's not just us, it's all the services we work with. So we're going to go through and go ahead and put up another ambulance. And I'm talking to Mr. Starr about it. That should be happening around October 15th. And here's some of our awards that we are award winning. 2005, we were the National Volunteer Provider of the Year. Several of them through there, and then the other one I'm really proud of is the Public Injury Education Injury Prevention Award with the state of Texas. We are national and state award winning. We love what we do. And what? I think that was it. And I wanted to just take a question and answer for questions y'all may have. And I brought one of our analysts down here for y'all to come out and take a look at if you'd like to. What questions may y'all have?
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions from the council?
I just have a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to ask you about the CPR certification. I've been in touch with Angie Vargas here in the last couple of months with Houston's American Red Cross about getting. My goal is to have this city be the most CPR certified city in the state of Texas.
Love to have you there.
Because I know that because of your location and then we're going to construction, there are going to be times where there will be delays. If we get this being CPR certified, the odds of your neighbor next down the street being certified would greatly increase in those crucial first
humans. You're exactly right. The city of Portland, they have 98% of the people are certified in CPR. They have the highest success rate in CPR. They've gone so far as every city block has a telephone, and every 2 blocks has an AED mounted. They've really put the money out there on the training.
And
I agree with it.
Do you do that? It's no charge?
No charge.
Okay. All right. And then I have one other question. If you could give me a little bit of clarification on that.
When we have large events, sometimes I'll sit in ambulance or I'll sit bike medics. I have actual people within the Finland School, which is the International Mountain Police Bike Association. And they're actually trained how to go through crowds and stuff on bicycles. Or we actually have a golf cart too that's set up for patient transport for stretchers. It kind of depends what the event is that you're having, how many people you're looking at, what we can actually support the event with.
Anything else? there are no other questions?
I got a question. Councilman Moses, thank you for coming out. A couple of questions for you, maybe just maybe you want to ask you. You're running three units now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's your protocol, basically, if you get a call out on one of your units? Where are your units all staged, your three units?
I have one in Seabrook, one in Webster, and one in unincorporated Harris County, Mud 55 on the other side of the interstate.
So if Seabrook gets called out on a call, let's say you got an MBA down the road, so I take you take Webster and bring it in, or what do you do?
No, they don't post at that point.
They don't?
No. That's one of the reasons we're putting up another truck because of that.
So there's no backup right there?
No, the backup is Webster. They're going to be coming out of Webster.
Correct.
They're
not out of Webster.
Yes, they're not coming out of over here.
No. Your fourth unit, you're going to bring on your time three, you said, where are you going to put it?
We're actually looking at that right now. It'll either be out of Webster or out.
You hadn't decided where to set it.
Yeah. Mr. Stahl and I have kind of been talking a little bit about that.
Okay.
I do know y'all are kind of disassociated from the rest of my area, and Mr. Stahl did talk about he may have some area over here that we could actually put an ambulance in if he could find.
Well, I'm not going to tell you, I've got quite a few questions, but I'm going to I'll just give you a call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Nina Stevenson, 122 East Forest Avenue. How does your number of buses or ambulances compare per square mile to, for example, the number of buses the city of Fort has?
I would have to look it up. I do not know how many ambulances there are on per square mile. Fort Ida has, and I do not know.
I would say that would be how many stations per square mile, for example, in the city.
I can get that back to Mr. Stahl.
Are there any other questions? We'll start from left to right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Several questions, actually. You mentioned the Port of Houston first responders. What do you mean by that?
A lot of times the fire department will respond with an ambulance for manpower, and the Port of Houston has actually contacted us. They're trying to be good community neighbors right now with everything going on. And they've offered to come out and volunteer to be a first responder organization for the local areas.
What? EMS service?
Yes.
The Port of Houston has a fleet of them.
I just deal with the Bayport, so I'm one that I deal with. I know they have several at their other stations, but they have an engine and a couple of responsibilities out there.
And you said you're dispatched on Webster?
Yes, Webster Communications.
Where's Short Acres at?
No, our police are dispatched from Lakeview.
Lakeview. How does that work?
Well, all the 911 calls come in to a central dispatch and goes to any alley to who the dispatch center is. As soon as they come in, they flag the address and automatically goes to the dispatch center that's dispatching. It's not a manual transfer or anything like that. It's automatic.
They know that Shore Acres is an emergency. Medical call that they call Webster, and the police call they call.
No, it's easier than that. If it's a 911 call, it comes in on the primary answering point, and they just push the EMS button, and Webster picks the phone up. And so if you called for an ambulance on 911, you wouldn't realize that Webster was the one who was handling the call. And actually, Webster is very good for us because they have a great depth of the number of dispatchers. So they're not, it's not like a one dispatcher operation.
A minimum 3 years will leave.
Pardon?
Like our police?
At the moment, yes.
And one more thing. Peak volume, Mr. Peak volume, and you only have one unit, I guess, in our area. How does that affect peak volume call response time?
That's what we're looking at right now, bringing up another truck, trying to find when the most advantageous time would be to bring up another truck for that. As far as when is peak volume time, we're still looking at it. Surprisingly, usually late morning is going to be a peak volume call for this area. Around 10 to about 4 in the afternoon is when you can see a peak around here.
Are there any other questions?
Very good. You would think. That's something we run. We have to do data all the time to that's just monthly. I keep trying to check what can we do different with it.
Yes, ma'am.
I did have one more question. Do you still have monthly meetings?
Oh, yeah. Board meetings, bi-monthly.
Do we have someone on council?
We have David Stahl is the representative out there. That answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Are there any other questions?
I would just prefer to see a councilman be able to speak to you.
It's totally up to your city who y'all saying. We just take
I'll take part of the back of the I would still like more of the council members at the large. Thereby, we'd be able to.
Thank you. And if there are no other questions, I'd like.
I have, I guess I don't get this down during some meetings in previous years, that if we have a medical emergency, the best number is to call 281-488-0022.
911.
Well, 911 does not work here from your cell phone. You get sent to Harris County, they have no way of knowing where you're going. It turns into quite the debacle.
It will get you there, but it's going to take longer than 911 from a landline. That number will get you to my dispatch center, but it is going to take longer.
And that's part of our problem. After the hurricane, most people did not put a landline back in their home. Mm-hmm. So the majority of folks around here.
But that number will work. It does ring there, and it does ring as a Clemency number. But the only problem with it, I have no Billy Annie Alley who can do that. Meaning, if you call on a landline, I can actually look up the address of every computer database. It will not do that off of the cell phone. It's just going to tell me what tower you're off of. Which is if you call 911, even the tower makes it more specific if you call it off 911 versus a standard number.
Is that true for all cities or just specific to Shore?
It's all cities.
Why is it longer?
It's not going to ring directly. It's not longer for them to answer, but it'll be longer for us to get help to you. Because if you call 911, it comes up on the computer screen. Everything's already right there. Everything's already verified through 911. If you're calling directly, it does not go through that system. As far as someone answering, about the same time. But it could cause me problems in the same way. At that point, my ambulances, all the mapping system that we use and everything's not going to work on our system if you haven't called through 911.
So that number is, you do have a dispatcher on
the
answer 24/7?
Yeah, that still rings straight into the Webster Communications Center.
Maybe we could just have a code for each home. Nothing, any clinic in the future, a lot of people are just discarding landlines because my parents don't have a landline.
I agree, I do too. I don't have a landline
this,
anymore.
This is something that, this is a problem that maybe should be approached because it's obviously a real problem. You can have a home code, your address, if you just put in the address on your phone or something.
That's going to be the 911 system with that. You actually pay money to the 911 system for all that dispatching capability.
Well,
there's a whole database with it.
But they're partially just, so there's a flaw in their system.
But they're making the money to do it. For programming on that, it's going to cost several hundred thousand dollars, and I don't have that.
Well, I was just kind of curious
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions?
Anybody like to look at the ambulance?
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your presentation.
Appreciate you bringing it.
And I also did want to reemphasize that the ambulance is outside. If anybody would like to take a look at it, it's there for your hearing. How long will it be there?
However long you'll need me here.
How about for the next year and a half?
That was slick.
Thanks, Chief. I appreciate it. The next item on the agenda is 3.2. We've got President Chad Burke with a presentation from the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region. Mr. Burke?
Let me table up here and change the program. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate the opportunity to come out tonight. As Mayor said, my name is Chad Burke. I'm president of the Economic Alliance Houston Fort Region. This is an opportunity for us to come out on an annual basis and kind of give you, we've got a written report in front of you. If you do have trouble sleeping at night, you can peruse through that. But I'd like to just go over kind of the highlights of some of the things that we've been involved in over the last year. The Economic Alliance is an economic development corporation for the region. It's our mission to grow the economy, and we do that a couple of different ways. Economic development work as well as quality of life work throughout the region. I apologize if I'm in the way. We are made up of 16 different communities throughout kind of the Houston Ship Channel region, north and south, all the way down to Seabrook and over into Pearland. You can see that Shore Acres is part of a fairly good-sized community that works with and supports our organization and goals. It really is kind of a regional partnership. We've got actually just recently 10 chambers of commerce instead of 9. Highlands area Chamber of Commerce just recently joined. So 10 chambers of commerce, the two community colleges in our footprint, Lee and San Jacinto College, 9 different school districts that we work closely with on workforce development issues, about 150 private companies, Harris County and the Port Authority as well. Most of our work falls under either economic development work or quality of life work. I'm gonna stand over here.
So I wanted to touch on a little bit of our quality of life activities. Back in 07, our organization created the historic district, the San Jacinto, Texas Historic District, and then went through setting some activities that support that, like the standards for corridor improvements, gateway projects, which Shore Acres participated in, Epic Art on the oil storage tanks, and different beautification projects throughout the region. I'll show you all some of these here in just a minute. Again, Epic Art type work, gateway work, standards for improvements throughout the major corridors, all with an effort to really use the history that took place in the area as a theme to help us beautify the whole region. The county has participated, the state has participated, and then of course all of our cities. This is Harris County, this is the Phelps County building up on Highway 225. And I apologize for not replacing this picture with the new nice stars that we have on the overpasses here, but we worked with TxDOT to get these stars on these three overpasses throughout the region, and then our historic district, which raises its own funds, paid to have the blue and white stars put on the overpasses. And then, of course, our local cities participate with their gateway projects as well. I just put a couple of them. I know you all probably see this one every day, but South Houston, there are 8 of the 10 different cities that already, actually Baytown, just had our ribbon cutting last Thursday for the Baytown Gateway Project. So 8 of 10 are already complete. So a lot of good work going on there. These are the stars I was talking about. It was really kind of fun. We sat down with TxDOT. Anytime you sit down with TxDOT, they kind of the first, I think the default answer is no. But when we asked them, I think they were thinking we want them to spend money on a different road or something. We said, no, we just want you to take something out of your inventory and decorate these overpasses. And actually, they said, oh, that didn't cost us any money. That's part of what we can do anyway. So they were able to do that. In fact, Dana Cote called back a little bit later and said, hey, do you mind if we add even a few more stars? Because he had found some more support beams to put some stars on. So they worked really well with us on that, and that I think is a really nice project. We also sponsored going throughout the region, everywhere we have an overpass that has its state logo, we went ahead and contracted a designer to design and paint these, and we'll try and maintain these throughout the year just through our own funds that we raise through the historic district. So just kind of a theme to remind people of the history, and then again, just to take pride in the area that we have and to try to beautify it. So, So those are some of the things that we do there. The other half of that coin of really most of the work that we do is business development. We try to, any of those activities that really help bolster the economy to help create jobs and to bring capital investment into the region. Some of the tools in our toolbox are incentive programs, whether it be at the federal, the state level, the county, or all the way down to the local level. We work with our school district as well on through Chapter 313 tax abatements that really benefit the school districts. They're really excited that we've been able to use several of those. In fact, we're working with a couple of more right now, a couple of large projects. The state of Texas does a good job of really giving us some nice tools to try and land business here in Texas versus whether it be Louisiana or China or Singapore or wherever we're kind of competing with the different projects that we're trying to bring in here. Our business development task force is chaired by Randy Drake. This group, works and monitors our projects, and that's the project where we're trying to land businesses in the area. Right now, we've got about 25 different projects that we're working on. If all of those were to land at once, we would be over 2,000 jobs and about $4.5 billion in new capital investment throughout the region. So far, year to date, we've had three wins, totaling $755 million in new capital investment and about 150 new jobs. Most of our work, what we try and do, is especially right now with what's going on in the chemical industry with the large expansion projects that are really, really deciding over the next year or two where they're going to be. Most of our work is in the petrochemical area, transportation, logistics, manufacturing area as well. They kind of support all of that work. Every one of these jobs created at one of our manufacturing facilities generally means 5 to 7 additional indirect jobs from all of the other service and support companies throughout the region. So we have our greatest impact there. So that's where we try to spend most of our energy. So over the last 2 or 3 years, 18 wins, 2,700 jobs, $2.8 billion. And so these numbers are really staggering. They're far more than what it was. If you'd have taken a snapshot of the previous 4 years, you're talking about anywhere from $50 to $100 million a year, and that would be a really big year. This gives you a scope of the size of capital projects that are being invested in our area right now. So we're really, really fairly at the times right now of what's going on in Texas, and specifically along the Houston Ship Channel, are really kind of once-in-a-lifetime type things. This is just an example of some of the things that we work on to help land a company. Everything from market research, site selection, infrastructure research, developing those relationships with the local communities that those industries will land in, all the way down to workforce development. For this specific example, we ended up working with the City of Pasadena and San Jacinto College to get them a $50,000 workforce training grant that they spent with San Jacinto College. So a lot of different things that we can bring to the table to really convince people to spend their money here and create those jobs here, which trickles down to all of our school districts, our cities, our county, in return of tax dollars and sales tax spend. So yeah, I mentioned why, the amazing kind of growth that's going on. Right now we're looking at close to $35 billion in expansion projects over the next 5 years here. And this is really the reason why. I don't want to bore anybody because everybody's kind of talked about this, but if you haven't really heard about the natural gas shale plays, the tight gas that's really being accessed now through hydraulic fracking and horizontal drilling. Texas is a huge beneficiary of that. We've got a couple of shale plays, the Eagle Ford Shale and the Barnett Shale. North Dakota has a very large shale play up here that we are losing a lot of our workforce to go work up here. They're pipelining all of that new oil and natural gas back down to our part of the country. And then, of course, Pennsylvania, the Northeast, has the Marcellus Shale, which will eventually be the largest producer of natural gas in America. What does that mean? Basically, it's turned our natural gas price into something that's about the lowest in the world. So we have a huge advantage on the feedstock that creates all of the intermediate products like PVC and vinyl chloride and styrene, polystyrene, all of those products that we make all of those everyday life things out of, like water bottles and automobile, home manufactured products, all of the different things that we kind of take for granted come out of our facilities here in the region. And now we can produce them cheaper than anybody in the world. So that's why all of the companies like Exxon, Chevron, Phillips are investing here locally, because they know for the next 50 to 100 years they can manufacture these products cheaper than anybody around the world. So it's really given the United States an advantage in producing these products. Eventually, you know, my prediction is over the next 10 to 15 years, you'll see some of these finished products come back domestically rather than all being produced over in China and that type of thing. Because we'll have the feedstock, we'll have the manufacturing, intermediate products. Why not go ahead and, instead of shipping it around the world to be finished, why don't we manufacture that here locally? So hopefully Texas will eventually get into some more of this type of manufacturing as well. So this is what I talked about. This is what the local impact is over the next 5 years. The real interesting thing is, I mean, you can see it's going to create a lot of salaries. It's going to create a lot of taxes for our cities and colleges and school districts. But it's really going to create a lot of jobs, and we don't have 111,000 skilled workers right now. So that's really a pinch point on what's going on. So one of the main things that we're trying to do is work through a workforce development task force, and I'll go through that just real briefly. Last week with our Outlook conference, we do this once a year and really bring those stakeholders from the region together, whether it's our congressmen, the Port Authority, our shipping companies, our petrochemical industry, and even some of our manufacturers, like our steel manufacturers, to say what's going on, why did it happen, what's threatening our prosperity, what do we see coming down the line for the next few years. And Mayor, I appreciate you coming last week. I hope you had enjoyed that. But I thought we had some really good speakers, especially our keynote speaker this year, which was Vice President of Chemicals for ExxonMobil, very impressive lady. She did a wonderful job, Lynn Lockenmeyer. Oh, there she was. I left her off the bottom there. So that's kind of our business development. We also have a business, really a business-to-business group, our business growth committee, chaired by Steve Cody, who's a councilman over in Pasadena. And they host events during the year that really help businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, have the opportunity to grow, whether it's an energy purchasing forum, a reverse trade show, where the vendors at the trade show are the big manufacturing companies, procurement managers breakfast. We've got one coming up next week with the petrochemical industry. We do one in the fall with all of our kind of governmental entities like cities and colleges. And then we have an educational lunch twice a year as well. And the topics for that are really interesting. Our most recent one was an active shooter event. Okay, what do you do if somebody comes into your place of business? So City of Pasadena's police chief and their SWAT came in and gave us a fantastic video and really instructional activity as far as what to do there. But everything from Affordable Care Act, human resources, social media, how small to medium-sized businesses can really help improve their the way that they do business. Public policy, obviously part of anything that really goes on in the region. And with this, we try and work closely with our cities and our industry to make sure that cities are being represented on a regional basis, and our industry and manufacturing and companies are also being represented. So we pull those groups together on a fairly regular basis. In fact, we pull the mayors together from the region about two or three times a year to sit down and present those type of issues that they're going to be interested in, so they can take them back to their cities. Everything from congressional roundtables to kickoff luncheons and a wrap-up session we just had about 2 weeks ago as well. So a lot of good activity in here. These are just some pictures of some of the things we do. Again, one of the main issues that we really have been working on for really the last 2 years is our workforce development. How do we get enough people trained for all of the jobs that we have? And how do we introduce our junior high and our high school kids to the great careers that are all right here in our area? And so we're working really closely with our school districts, our colleges, and with industry, and we've got a lot of really good things going on there. That big committee is doing some really good stuff. We did take our first trip to D.C. this year as an organization to really kind of take the issues that this region needs to be heard up there from this region. And I think that was a successful trip. This was from our legislative kickoff session right before the state legislative year. Workforce development, okay, so some of the things, work in D.C. and in Austin, worked really closely with our schools. The industry is really driving this because they're the ones creating all the jobs, construction and engineering, which support these organizations, and then we have several skills training organizations throughout the region that we're working with as well as just employment companies, people trying to fill all those jobs, and really anybody else that's interested in seeing this equation trying to make a difference, and so that's what we're trying to do. Our objectives are really three in nature, okay? One, there's a lot of good things going on there. We just want to help coordinate and communicate all the good projects that are going on out there. Two, and probably most importantly, we want to create a marketing program for the students, for the teachers, for the counselors, and for the parents, starting at the junior high level so that they recognize that there are great opportunities out there, and they don't have to graduate and go to, you know, dead-end type jobs. These are careers that are $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 within a year or two out of college that these kids can be making. We are putting together what we're calling them mods. We have four of them. One is the petrochemical industry. The other is transportation and logistics, maritime, and then our cities have asked us to put together something for kind of municipal workers, all the jobs that are available with our cities, especially with the aging workforce and people about to retire. They're also looking at a kind of a crunch for people as well. So we're going to be taking those to the schools to help educate teachers and counselors and all those folks there of the great opportunities that there are out there. And then finally, we want to make sure that we're staying on top of really what the specific jobs are, what those qualifications are, and making sure that we're communicating that to our schools and to our community colleges on an annual basis so we don't get behind and we're not educating the wrong people, not the wrong people for the wrong jobs. These are really our workforces or task forces that we do a lot of our work in. We've got six full-time employees, but we've got hundreds of volunteers that work on our committees, and that's really how we get all the work done. So that's a quick overview. I tried to run through that as quick as I could, but we'll entertain some questions if you have any. But we're here to try and help grow the region, and make sure that we stay prosperous, make sure that there's capital investment, there's jobs available for our kids, and we continue to be a great place to live and work. I was born and raised in the area and want to see it as successful as it possibly can be. So it's a pleasure to work for Shore Acres. You know, we count y'all as one of our 11 cities and 16 communities, and it's really an honor to work for y'all, and we're here to kind of serve. So just let us know if there's things that we can help you with.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from council, citizens?
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to thank you for setting up the Gateway Project. Shore Acres did benefit from that, and you know, something we really couldn't afford to do, but it's a great addition.
I appreciate it. It's a nice gateway, and y'all's is unique among everybody else's because y'all's is functional. I mean, I love the fact that y'all were like, okay, and it happened right after Ike, you know, and I think David and some of the other guys were like, hey, you know, we need something that we can also put up warnings and notices and things like that. And I just thought that was a great idea. So very happy to be able to help that on that.
Very well. Thank you very much. And if anyone is concerned, I have the contact information for Chad and his office. So
give me a call.
If you have anything further, you're
appreciated.
Briefly.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. If council has had a chance to review the minutes for August 26, 2013, I'll be happy to entertain the motion.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for August 26, 2013.
A motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Nancy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? With none opposed, motion carries. Thank you.
next item on the agenda is council reports and requests on a 5.1. As you heard, I did attend the Petrochemical Maritime Outlook Conference, and you saw the same numbers I did, and I saw a little bit more. It's pretty impressive what it is they're projecting for the following years. One of the things that I did take away from that is it looks like there might be a number of opportunities here coming up very soon for employment with the port and a number of the other chemical groups here in the vicinity. Are there any questions concerning my report, or is there the council have anything else to add at this time? Very well. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is item 6.0, citizens' comments. This time, anyone who would like to address council, I'd ask you to please state your name and your address and approach the podium for citizens' comments. Yes, ma'am.
A while back, I came and asked for a public apology for several of our employees and our ex-men on the outcome of our audit. And I just wanted to know that I haven't forgotten that request, and I will let you handle it any way you see fit. And I'll also ask the same thing for Chief and Mr. Tristan. Thank you.
Yeah. Are there any other comments? Yes, ma'am. For you, yes, but.
Darlene Gamble Rose, 606 Paper. A couple of things. I know 9/11 is Wednesday, and I think it would be very nice of us to be able to put our flags out and respect for the American Federation. And then my favorite subject, Miss Edith. I had quite a few come and visit me over the weekend. They brought their luggage and their cousins and just their relatives. But as we go into budget season, I wish y'all would really consider getting our own seat player like we used to have before. Because living this close to the water, we need to have our own. We don't have to rely on the county to come out and count the mosquitoes. So,
they
can come out.
Right. Thanks, ma'am. Are there any others? Yes, sir.
Michael Kopp, 629 Oakdale. I'm debating whether to comment or wait for the street drainage report project so I can get some an idea of when which streets are going to be done, if they're going to be done. And why are the particular streets were picked to be done in the order they were done, especially Oakdale, which started out right here and seemed like it went everywhere else. And I was told Oakdale here and behind this was going to be done at the first of the year, and that's coming on, and I was told it was going to be done in July, and that's coming on, and started to get concerned it's not going to be done at all. And I've had various and the sundry answers, and I see it's going to be all done the report, so I'll wait to see how it's going to do. If I can, if the answers aren't satisfactory, I can ask questions again.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions or citizens' comments at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Nyla, here from 122 East Forest Avenue. As you're going into this budget season, I would like the council to be well aware of the Economic Commission today. There are many people laid off. There are many. I have an incentive about several employees who each of the day cut 20% or just cut. Everybody has to tighten their belt. I don't want my taxes raised, but at the same time, I don't want my
kids to cut trash either. Nor do I want to have a very delayed response on the event. I'm for going to get trying to work with the four together back. But if it's going to be at the astronomical amount, then I'm going to be factored into it. But Clemency must be encouraged to bring their response time down and to get some of the stations here, to get more buses, whatever they need, they've got to be encouraged to do that. And I said David is hard to go to these, but I would like for somebody on council that I vote for, or not vote for, I would like for it to be someone on council that goes there. So that if we don't get some response, then we can go without. Or someone who cares more about it. And what's like the one that encourages them to go to those meetings and make sure we get that response. Because I don't want my taxes raised, but my life on the line. I do it, you know, it wouldn't matter. So I think that's one of the things. One of the services the city provides is to protect the city. And I want to protect it.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else wish to address council this time? Yes, ma'am.
Dana Woodruff, 3534 Miramar Drive. Kind of with a second mouse on the as approaching budget season, it's easy to get into pet projects, but with the possibility of looking at increased flood insurance premiums and other recognized things, want to not make Shore Acres a bit where people can't sell their houses, people don't want to buy houses here. So.
Thank you very much. Are there any others wishing to address council at this time? If not appearing, we'll move on to the next agenda item. 7.0, 7.1, City Administrator Report.
Good evening. Continue to work the last couple of weeks. Our pending firm map changes. Everyone's facing certain insurance cost increases, and our participation in the CRS program will earn us discounts. This last week in particular, we worked on repetitive loss documentation so that our entry level savings will be maximized to get in under the wire on that. We'll be sending out repetitive loss information with this utility bill, and we'll be able to get credit for that with our application at the onset. So that's good news that we're able to get some additional points. Contractors for TxDOT, actually subcontractors for the sound wall contractors for TxDOT project along Bioforest, got a little close to one of our water mains. It was one of the mains that was put in when Gateway Village was laid out